You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
How many people are excited about Christmas? Anybody excited about Christmas? Because there's people that are excited about Christmas, and then there's people that are really excited about Christmas. I want to know, where are the hardcore Christmas people in the room today? I just want to know where you're at, because there's people that do Christmas, and then there's people that really do Christmas. Like, there's people that kind of coast through the holidays, you know what I'm saying? And then there's people that are counting the days before the days that are the countdown for Christmas. So these are like the hardcore, like, Christmas tailgaters. They make this thing happen. They string it out. And I want to give a big hand to all those that came and decorated the church. Can y'all give them a big hand? If y'all helped, please stand up. Pastor Corinne and your whole team. Daricelli, Saji, Marielle. There were so many that helped. They're just... Oh, she's the real MVP, Daricelli. All right. You know, Christmas is such a great time of year. My wife is one of those, like, she's hardcore about the holidays, and I think that she starts celebrating Christmas in January. And you know what I'm saying? Some of you guys, you know that's you. You start celebrating in January, and so there's some Christmas tree politics. Is anybody dealing with Christmas tree politics in your house? You know, it's a thing. You know. It's a thing. No, I'm serious, you know. And so we kind of negotiated it down to where it's just 3 months in our house. But it's, you know, we put it up in October, and I have to put in several, like, you know, petitions in January to try to get it back down. You know, it's just... Okay, all right. You know, there's a perfectly good explanation for, you know, that's why, you know, you got to, you know, it's a compromise. You know, marriage is a compromise. You got to just come and meet and make a halfway point happen. One of the parts that I like the most about Christmas time is the gifts, the gift exchange, right? And as I was kind of praying about the message for today, God gave me this message for you called the gift exchange. The gift exchange. And I want to take you back and... we'll get a little bit of scriptural reference here out of Matthew 2:9. So you can find that in your Bible today. As you're finding that today, I know some of you have had experience with the Secret Santa, or you've had the experience of having a big family, or you said, hey, we're going to just be on a budget. We're just going to get the kids gifts this thing. Enough. I'm not trying to get everybody gifts. Or maybe even that little game that they play, you know, you get the gift and then somebody can take your gift. And, you know, gifts, it's fun. Gifts are fun. You know, taking your gift. I'm serious. You know, I had never heard of it growing up. And then as an adult, like, the game, you get the gift. And then if somebody else gets a gift and they don't like their gift, they can trade the gift. I still don't get it. But the gift exchange. Look at somebody say, the gift exchange. Go with me to Matthew 2:9. It says, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So 2,000 years ago, there were these wise men. They were well read on the prophecies. They were watching the skies, watching the stars. And they knew that a king was going to be born. And so they set out on a long trip. And they understood, though, that before they set out on the trip, they needed to prepare something. That there was going to be some type of exchange. When they arrived, when they saw the king, there was going to be some type of exchange. They were going to get a king, a Messiah. And they were going to not come empty-handed. They felt it was important. Are you following me so far? They felt that it was important for them to bring something, to give. They would get a Savior, and they would come prepared to give something. Just say it to somebody. There is a gift exchange. Have you ever been to a party, or maybe it was your party, and somebody came and they didn't bring any gift for you? They didn't even bring a card. They didn't even bring like a bottle of Coke or something. They just came empty-handed. There's sometimes certain moments that you just don't come empty-handed. And the wise men knew intrinsically that this was one of those moments that they didn't need to show up empty-handed. They understand something that most people of that time didn't understand. And they understood some things, some kingdom understanding. And they understood with a king being born, there needed to be presented a tribute. Because every worthy king deserves a tribute. Every king that is worthy is deserving of a tribute. And I think this is where kind of our culture gets it wrong, because our culture is always looking for something free. How many have seen that, right? Somebody mentions free and everybody goes bonkers, right? They say, oh, we're doing this thing, and if you buy this, then you're going to get this free. And everybody comes and they're crazy about free, right? It could be something of nominal value, something pretty much worthless, and you say free and people just see red. They're all over that thing, right? It could be something you don't even need, but it's free. So everybody's in line, standing, trying to get the free thing. It's part of our culture. It's something it's something that we're enthralled with, this concept. And our culture expects things for free. They expect to get things for free, all kinds of stuff for free. But can I tell you something that you probably already kind of have an inkling of an understanding somewhere deep in your spirit, somewhere back in the recesses of your mind? You know you're not going to really get something of value for nothing. Amen. If you're going to get something that's worth anything, you're going to have to give something, right? There's going to be some type of exchange. You know, I have Pastor Corinne and I, we have a house that cost us something. We got a car. It's a nice car. Protects the kids. It's a safe car. It cost us something. We have kids together. Those things cost you something. All right. I have a beautiful wife. Husbands, that costs you something. That costs you something. Anything of value is going to cost you something. And the wise men understood to be a part, to be connected with this moment, to enter into this kingdom, they needed to make an exchange. They understood that they didn't need to come empty-handed. I think of King David in 2 Samuel 24:24. And King David, he had, kind of got himself into an issue in his kingdom. And there was this plague, there was this problem, people were dying, there needed to be a solution. And finally the word of the Lord comes forward for David. This is how we're going to fix everything. This is how we're going to push the reset button and get the kingdom back to normalcy. We are going to, this was the word of the Lord, go to this special place and give an offering, present an offering. And so he goes to the place that was the word of the Lord. He shows up at the place, and there's this great gentleman there that owns the property. And he says, you know what, King, I'll give you the property and I will give you some animals to sacrifice. Isn't that great? I'll give it to you for, what's the word? Free. And David, who was a man after God's own heart, he said, no, that doesn't sound right. I don't want to give God something that has no value. I don't want to give God something free, something that was free for me. I want to give God something that is precious to me. I want to give God something that cost me something. And see, David was ahead of his time. If you really kind of study David, he knew spiritual things, spiritual principles before they were even the common knowledge, common spiritual knowledge of the age. He just kind of, because he's spending time in the presence of God, he just kind of instinctively kind of knew things. And he said, you know what? Something that doesn't just sound right. I don't want to give God something that costs me nothing. Turn to somebody and say, what are you bringing? What are you bringing? Turn to somebody else and say, what are you offering God today? You know, I think so often people miss it because they're looking for an easy way to do something that's not really easy. They want to get something for free that is costly. If you show up at the AT&T store and say, hey, I want that new Apple X. They're not going to say, yeah, take it for free. They're going to say, here's the cost, right? Here's the cost. For everything of value, there is a cost. And so I look at these wise men, and they come bearing precious gifts. They wanted to enter into what God was doing at that moment. And they brought gifts that were precious, gifts that were thoughtful, gifts that were intentional. Let this kind of sink in here. It wasn't just like kind of like haphazardly like, okay, we're leaving. We got to get on the road. Let's get it. Just grab something. You know how, you know, when you're leaving the house, you're like, hey, kids, you know, you're telling your spouse, hey, just grab the thing and let's go. Let's get on the road. No, these were thought out gifts. They were intentional. They were thoughtful gifts. Theologians say that for the next 2 years, these gifts actually sustained baby Jesus and the family as they were on the road running from Herod. So they went into hiding in Egypt, and they had these gifts to help sustain them. And so these were thoughtful gifts. These were gifts that were spirit-led. And so I hope that we can see a revelation in what the wise men were doing. The wise men were not coming empty-handed into the presence of God. They came with something precious in their hand. At the end of the year, New Year's, this is going to be one of those moments for us. It always is when we come before the Lord and we enter His presence and we have something precious in our hands. And we say, God, I want to offer You something. You know, there are moments that we enter into God's presence and we don't need to come empty-handed. When you enter into the king's presence, and think about this for a moment, if you were to have the opportunity to meet one of the great kings of our world, would you come without being intentional about it? Would you come without trying to bring something or offer something? You know, I think a lot of times we take for granted that we're standing in the presence of the King of the universe. The very creator of the universe, the one that made us, and we don't bring any type of tribute. You know, I think about this, and I think, you know, it's something about our culture, and it's something I think that we've all been guilty of. I know I have. You know, maybe you come into church that day and you're just tired, or you're not feeling the musical selection, and you know, you don't have anything in your hand, right? Or maybe you had a tight budget that week and, you know, the offering opportunity comes and goes and, you know, you just don't do anything. Or maybe the presence of God is just so sovereign in the room, and it's powerful and it's real, and you get a notification on your cell phone. And you come to God without something in your hand. You know, I'm not trying to pass judgment. I'm trying to bring attention to the King of Kings. I just want to say, when He enters the room, nothing else matters. When He enters the room, that becomes the most important thing. When we have opportunities to stand in the presence of God, whether it's in this sanctuary or whether it's God interrupting you in the middle of your busy week and your busy schedule, can I tell you, don't come into God's presence empty-handed. Bring something with you. I want to be like the men of old, like the women of old, that when the presence of God showed up, they said, hey, wait just a second. Let me go grab something and I'll come right back. Because they understood that they wanted to give something. Because there's something powerful. When you give to God, guess what? You're not going to walk away empty-handed. There's always an exchange with God. You can't outgive God. Whenever you think that you've given, we play a game at our house between me and my wife, and it's basically who can give the better gift. All right. First, the first game is who can give the first gift, and the second game is who can give the better gift. So, you know, every year, who can get the gift under the present first? So sometimes it's just ridiculous. Like it's like before the tree is even up, there's been a gift that's been purchased. And but the second gift is who can give the better gift. We can never give the better gift. Whatever you come up with, the most precious thing that you could think of to give God, guess what? He's going to top it. He's going to top it. And so when we think about we're entering the presence of God, what can we give? You know, maybe it's monetary. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's a dance. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's something else. But don't come empty-handed. Look at somebody and say, don't come empty-handed. What's in your hand today? You know, I think one of the greatest questions that we can ask ourselves is, what do I have to give? What can I offer? You know, I love the story. It's not like historically accurate about the little drummer boy. The little drummer boy wasn't actually there with the shepherds and the wise men. But I love the story. A little drummer boy. He didn't have prestige. He didn't have money. But he had a song. He had a song to offer the Lord. So what I'm challenging you with today is, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand that you can offer the Lord? I think oftentimes we get caught up with what we don't have in our hands, and we stop looking at what we do have. And far too many times we find ourselves saying, well, if I had more money, I would do this. Or if things were different, I would do that. Instead of saying, what can I offer? I don't think that's the question that the King of Kings, the King of the universe, is asking. He's not asking you to give something that you don't have. He's asking you to offer something that you do. So maybe today you're like the wise men. Maybe today you're like the shepherd. Or maybe you're the drummer boy. What's in your hand? What is the offering that you can come to the King with? Is it the fruit of your lips? Is it like Mary? Is it the fragrance of your heart? Is it a precious treasure like the wise men? But make it something thoughtful. Make it something intentional. Every time we enter the presence of God, we should never come empty-handed. I love that, because if we come with something in our hand and we come with an expectation, not just to receive, but to give, guess what? You're sure to receive, because you're putting a demand upon the king. When the Queen of Sheba went to visit King Solomon, she came with a gift. She knew there was going to be some type of exchange. She didn't know what type of exchange. She came and brought gifts, but actually the story goes that she left with more than she came with, because King Solomon wouldn't be outdone. She brought him a tribute, but he gave something extravagant back to her. And she said, the half has not been told. I had an expectation of this exchange, but the half has not been told. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, I thank you, Lord, that you would just fill our hearts with thankfulness in this season. God, we thank you for everything you've done for us. God, thank you for giving us the air to breathe. Thank you for giving us this beautiful earth. God, thank you for giving us relationships around us. God, thank you for giving us opportunities. God, thank you for giving us a fresh start. God, even thank you for, even in difficulties, being there for us, being there with us. Let us come into your presence, not just today, but every time we come into your presence. Let us come with something in our hands. Just like the wise men, just like Mary with her alabaster box, just like David. Let us come to you every time we sense your presence and bring a gift to exchange.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.